ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, just please turn in your Bibles to Revelation 13 as we continue our study through the Bible. And last week we began looking at Revelation chapter 13, and as I said last time, this chapter gives us the description of two beasts. And we covered the first beast last time, and this beast we saw arose from the sea. This is the Antichrist, and coming out of the sea was a picture for us that he's going to rise out of the sea of humanity or the Gentile nations. He's going to be Jewish, but I believe he's coming out of the European community, but again, being Jewish. And he's going to rule the world. He's going to head the 10 kingdoms of this world federation. And he comes on the scene with the opening of the first seal, judgments spoken of in Revelation chapter 6. And for 3.5 years, there's this pseudo-peace. You know, yeah, there's going to be some trouble, but for the most part, there's going to be this pseudo-peace. And the last 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation is going to be bad. His true colors are revealed. If you refuse to worship him, you're going to be put to death. And not only that, we have the judgments of God coming forth upon this world. So there's a lot of things going on, a lot of things happening. This evening, we're going to look at the second beast, and he comes from the earth. Who is this second beast? What is his purpose during the tribulation period? Well, this is a key player to help bring the Antichrist to power so he can rule the world. Obviously, the Lord is bringing the Antichrist forth, but this is the guy who's going to usher him to power. And God always uses other people for his plans and purposes. We think we have it bad in the tribulation period. It's going to be bad. And I guess the thing I want to encourage us in the days we're living is, are we ready for what's coming down the pike? Are we willing to stand up for what we believe? Do we know what we believe? Because we're going to be challenged. One person wrote this. He said, your life depends on your knowledge of the gospel. Not just your life now, though that is certainly true, but your eternal life depends on your knowledge of the gospel. Are you ready? Do you know the gospel so well that you will stake your life on it? If someone claimed to be a representative of Christianity, but taught that you should do exactly what the Bible says not to do, would you be prepared to dispute his claim to speak for God? I'm not envisioning Muslim extremists speaking for God. I'm talking about people who claim to be Christians. If they not only called you to do what the Bible says not to do, but made demands and threatened to kill you if you didn't do them, would you be ready to put your life on the line? Would you be ready to die because you were certain that the gospel such a person was preaching was not in fact the gospel the Bible teaches? Do you know your Bible well enough to know when someone is telling you to do exactly what the Bible says not to do? And if you do, has the Bible so shaped your convictions that you don't just disregard the Bible but are prepared to be faithful to God even unto death? We need to be able to tell the difference between God's work and Satan's. Absolutely. And the problem today is so many Christians don't even know what they believe. They're so confused by it. I mean, think about, you know, Jim Jones. As soon as he said he was God, and there's probably a lot of other things he said that were red flags, but when he said he was God, shouldn't that have been a red flag for the people to say, well, that's wrong, because the Bible says so? But they didn't. They followed a man. And we see that over and over again today, especially with social media, how many people are following these so-called Christians who are not Christians. They have a different gospel. And all you have to do is read Galatians. You know, there is no other gospel. Or read, really, the whole New Testament, and you'll see that. This article from 2021 said, biblical literacy for the Christian is the basic knowledge of the Bible that allows us to grow and function as followers of Christ. For the non-believer, it is the background knowledge of America's Judeo-Christian culture built on a biblical worldview. Here in America, now listen to this, here in America, only 6% of us know how now hold a biblical world view, despite 87% of American households having at least one Bible. This seems to indicate why most have a theology an inch deep and a mile wide, while failing to understand basics like the importance of Jesus allowing himself to be crucified. To me, that is such a sad state of affairs. 6% of Christians have a biblical worldview. Well, what view do they have? They just have a worldview, not a biblical. They go along with what the world is saying. How do I know that? Because look at how many Christians were for Antifa and Black Lives Matter and this garbage that's going on in our school system now. These are Christians that are supporting this. How many Christians voted for Tony Evers? Think about that. You see, we've lost the biblical worldview. We lost of what's important, and we're not standing up for it. Biblical literacy advocate Jen Wolken said, ultimately, we give time to the thing that we love. That's the problem. What is the passion of our heart? What is the passion of our lives? Is it the Lord, getting to know him more? What he desires of us, how to live? Do we love the Word of God more than Instagram or Netflix or this or that? All we see going on in the world can be very disheartening. But when we see this going on in the church, it just breaks my heart because we should know better. Like one writer said, the message of this passage is clear. Let the monstrous beast from the abyss do his worst. Let Satan and his demon host have their hour. God controls the future and believers belong to him. In all these things, we are overwhelmingly conqueror through him who loved us. And we will triumph on that glorious day when the kingdom of the world becomes the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Absolutely. Make no mistake about it. When you are standing up for Jesus Christ, when you are making an impact in people's lives for Jesus, you will be attacked. If nothing is happening in your life, it's because you're probably not doing anything and Satan could care less. You know, again, when we do Vacation Bible School, the attacks we get are so incredible. You go, what is going on? And when we first started doing Vacation Bible School, I was shocked by it. Now I just go, well, okay, we're getting ready for Vacation Bible School. What's next for this trip? All these different things were thrown at us for this trip to Russia. You know, one of the big things for me was the leg pain I was having, you know, from my hip all the way down to the tip of my toes. And when I sat, it was horrible. How was I going to sit on a plane for 10 hours? Praise the Lord. I was able to convince my doctor to give me some prednisone, that miracle drug that's, you know, it's really dangerous for you to be on a long periods of time. But the pain I could tolerate. Thank you, Lord. Now I got to convince him to give me enough for the entire trip. We'll see. But the enemy always wants to discourage and get you to drop out. You know, here's one of the problems today, and I don't want to get off on this too much, but when you start to do something for the Lord, and all these things are start happening, and you know what Christians say? Well, I guess God doesn't want me to do this. What if Paul felt that way? What if Peter felt that way? He wouldn't go on anywhere. He wouldn't have done anything. Everywhere Paul went, he was in trouble. Just because bad things happen doesn't mean God doesn't want you to do it. You need to be guided by him. That's why this Russia trip, to me, I really believe this is what God wants. And I'm just trusting him, and I'm going to take those step of faith. We'll see. But don't let Satan stop you. And the key for all of us, the Lord is coming back, guys. It doesn't mean we're not going to endure tribulation. We will. And I think it's going to get worse. But the Lord is coming back. And whatever they can do to me here and now, they can't take the Lord away from me, my eternity with him. He secured it already. It's a done deal. And so I can rest in him and go forth and do the work that God called me to do. Was it in Lystra where they stoned Paul for preaching the gospel? And the other guys with him thought Paul was dead. They were going to drag him off the street. And gets up, you know, shakes the dust off, and he goes back into the city. Nothing was going to stop this guy. And that should be our heart attitude. So with that as our introduction, let's begin reading Revelation 13, starting in verse 11. And let's see what the Lord has for us this evening as we study his word. John wrote this, "Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon." Now, there are some who believe the second beast is just, again, referring to the Antichrist. Others see it as an institution or a form of government. Some see it as the apostate church or just an ideology. No, this second beast represents a person, and it's not the Antichrist. In fact, it's really easy. John says, "I saw another beast," right? It's allos in the Greek. And this is not the same beast that we just read of in verses, you know, last time in verses 1 through 10. This is another beast, someone different. And he's a wild beast, just like the first beast was. First beast came out of the sea, humanity, or the Gentile nations. The second beast comes out of the earth. Or you might say a man-made religious system, as we're going to see. And look at the description of this second beast. He has two horns. Speaks of authority. And he doesn't have a crown. And he's not a political leader, that tells me, like the first beast is. I believe these scriptures here point to this beast being the false prophet. In Revelation 19:20, this is what we're told. "Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet," that's the second beast, "who works signs in his presence," and we'll see that this evening, "by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone." We see again in Revelation 16:13 that this false prophet is demonically possessed. It says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." And again, Revelation 20:10, we're told, "The devil who deceived him or deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." So again, what we're seeing is this unholy trinity emerge. Satan wants to be God. He wants to be worshipped as God. So Satan, the dragon, sets himself up as God the Father. Then the Antichrist, who is really the son of perdition, sets himself up as the God the Son, and obviously he's not. The false prophet sets himself up as a type of the Holy Spirit, again, which he's not. Now, think about this. What is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit doing? And there's a lot of different things, but the specific thing is he's come to testify of Jesus, to glorify him, to bring us to trust in Jesus. We see it in John 16, verses 7 through 15. Now look at what the false prophet is doing. He's leading people to the worship of who? The Antichrist, and ultimately Satan himself. We see how evil this man is. And people are going to worship, again, not only the Antichrist, but the devil, Satan. Are people doing that today? Absolutely. I'll give you an example. And this is back in 2007 when the Dalai Lama came to Chicago. And doesn't he look like a lamb? His demeanor, his character, the way he presents himself, he looks like a lamb. Very innocent. But he's not a lamb. Even though he looks like one, he spoke forth the words, and you can send me all your emails that you want, he spoke like a dragon. That's just the reality. He's bringing forth doctrines of demons. And again, people may think it's harsh, but if someone is leading you away from Jesus Christ as being Lord and Savior of your life, that he is Almighty God, that has died on the cross of Calvary for our sins, and he's given you another way to nirvana or heaven or whatever he believes, then that's not of God. He's of the devil. Does he say good things? Absolutely. We need to be careful. This beast, as you look at him, seems very friendly and tame. He looks like a lamb. I mean, have you ever seen a killer lamb? Have you ever heard on the news, "Be on the watch for this lamb, he's a killer"? No. I mean, yeah, there was a movie, Killer Sheep, but, you know, that's a movie. It's not reality. Sheep are not very good at defending themselves. That's why they need a shepherd. And so this guy looks very innocent, but he's not. I'm sure he'll talk a lot about loving everyone, but he's dangerous. He appears as a lamb, but he speaks forth the words of the devil or the dragon. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15, gives us insight into this whole idea of deception. He says, for such are false apostles, and he's speaking of false teachers here, but, you know, obviously if you're teaching things that are against the word of God, you're a false teacher. He said, deceitful workers transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Can appearances be deceiving? Absolutely they can. Absolutely. What can we do about that? Listen to the words they're saying, the actions they're doing, and compare them to what the Bible has to say. And that will tell you where they're coming from. You'll see if they're of God or not. Jesus even warned us in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20. He said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Isn't that interesting? They just, again, deceptive. They look like sheep, but it's a facade. He says, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So we have to pay attention. We have to be watchful, especially in the days we're living in, when there is so much information out there. And I'm talking about biblical information. Be careful. And this false prophet is going to come on the scene for what? To support the politics of the Antichrist and the worship of this man, leading him to be the leader of the world. And again, many Christians are taken in by false prophets today. And they're turning the hearts of the people away from the true and living God. What are they going towards? New Age teaching, Eastern religious activities. And during the tribulation period, they're going to turn to the Antichrist. And it shouldn't be a surprise to us. In fact, Jesus warned in Matthew 24, verses 24 and 25, for false prophets and false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Lying signs and wonders. People could get you to believe anything. I've told you before, I've watched the show The Carbonaro Effect. He's a magician. And he's a really nice guy, very nice smile, and he disguises himself so people won't recognize him, but he will trick you into believing something that is totally impossible. It could never happen. He had goldfish in this bowl, but you couldn't see them. And he said, they tend to hide when they're in the bowl. You can't really see them. He said, but look, I'm going to put them into this bag with this little seaweed, and you'll see them. And he goes in and he gets the net and grabs supposedly a fish out of there and puts it into the bowl. And there's the fish. And the people who are there go, huh, what? He goes, well, I think there's a few more in here. Can't you see them? He's very good at what he does. Do you think these guys are going to be good? They're going to be absolutely, and that we see that today. We have to be fruit inspectors and see what's born from their lives. See what their teaching is. Does it agree with the Word of God? John said in 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There's the warning. Now, as we read on here, John is going to share with us the purpose of the beast or this false prophet. What's the function of his ministry, you might say? Look at verse 12. John said, and he exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Remember what I said about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's to draw people to Jesus. The false prophet draws people to who? The Antichrist. And like I said, ultimately Satan and the, it, at the end of the or the beginning of the last 3.5 year period of time of the tribulation period. Isn't it interesting how easily people can be fooled today? One writer said, "It may seem fantastic to some that the world will be led into worship of a man and of the devil. But by nature, men have an undeniable religious impulse, and they also have an undeniable rebellion against God. What men want most is not the elimination of religion, but their own religion. They say they want the kingdom, but they don't want God in it." And how true that is. People develop their own religion. It's kind of like idols. You make the idol out of the imagination of your own heart. You make a religion that suits you. That's why we have Christian churches that are for allow homosexuals, transgender to come in because they're Christians. They believe in Jesus. Well, that's not what the Bible says. They made a religion to satisfy the desires of their own heart. There's the problem. And it's interesting because I truly believe at that 3.5 year mark, there's going to be this assassination attempt on the Antichrist. And we talked about it last time in Revelation 13. But I think this is a powerful event that will draw people to the worship of the Antichrist. The reason I say that is because he's going to have this false death and this pseudo-resurrection. And Zechariah 11:17 says it like this: "Woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. A sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye. His arm shall completely wither, and his right eye shall be totally blind." And we saw that last time. You know, Revelation 13, 3 and 4. "And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?'" Again, I don't think he's actually dead, because I don't think Satan has the power of life and death. Only God does. So this is a pseudo-death and resurrection. But it's going to be so convincing, this counterfeit death and resurrection, that the world's going to believe it's real. And it's out of that event that more people of the world will begin to worship the beast. Because he has power over everything, even life and death. Wow. Here's this battle going on during the tribulation period. We have the 144,000 Jewish witnesses, right? They're evangelizing for Jesus. We see millions of those who have come to Christ during this period of time sharing the gospel message. Many of them have been put to death for their faith in Christ. And what's the message they're sharing? That Jesus loves you, that he died and rose from the grave on the third day. What is the world now saying? Oh, that means that this man must be God because he died. And I believe he rose 3 days later, this Antichrist. And he rose 3 days, just like Jesus, so he must be God. And they begin to worship him. Look how deceptive he is. Look at verse 13 here in Revelation chapter 13. Notice what he does. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. We need to understand that deception is going to be tremendous. And we talked about this in Matthew 24, about the false Christ, the false prophets who will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. God says, Jesus says, "I've told you beforehand." God warns us many times. It's just we refuse to listen. We think we know better, and we don't. And if Satan and his workers can transform themselves into angels of light, they do so to deceive. And they're doing great signs, it says here, for those who are dwelling on the earth. And I think that's specific. That's not believers. That's unbelievers, earth dwellers. Those are always unbelievers. Now, what does signs do? Do you ever think about that? I'll give you an illustration. You're driving down I-43, and you see a sign, Sheboygan, 22 miles. What's that about? It's pointing you to something. You have 22 miles to get to Sheboygan. It's a sign. Well, that's what these are doing. It's pointing to the worship of the Antichrist, these signs and wonders. And this is a repeated action. The word performs is in the plural. So many signs, many wonders that the false prophet's going to do. Drawing people away from the worship of God and the worship of the Antichrist. One writer said, there is a supernatural power which is against God and truth, as well as one for God and truth. A miracle simply as a work of wonder is not necessarily of God. There has always been devilish supernaturalism in the world running alongside of the supernaturalism of divine grace and salvation. Absolutely.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.